la 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 la. Hey gang, happy Nimrata is Gone Day. This is National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and Mark Dankoff. Mark, are you in a celebratory mood today?
Yeah, I tell you, this is the best headline that I've encountered since the death of John McCain.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
All right. Hey, real fast, I want everybody to know. So Nikki Haley, whose birth name was Nimrata Randhawa, she was our Skankbassador to the United Nations. I'm sorry, Ambassador Whore. I'm sorry. She was our representative at the United Nations, and she's announced, or the White House has announced as of about an hour and a half ago, that she's not going to be in that post any longer. And I just, before we talk about it, she, before that, had been the governor of South Carolina. And when she was running for re-election in 2014, I just want to play for, if Mr. T's ready with that clip, I want to play about 40 seconds or so of her opponent talking about her. So let's have a listen. It's coming. Got that ready, Mr. T?
We want it more, and all we have to do is remind the people of South Carolina about the junk that has gone on the last 4 years. Remind them that we have a governor who has vetoed over $100 million in public education funding. She vetoed our public school teachers' pay raises the same year she gave her own staff 25% pay increases. That is the worst kind of politics, and we are going to escort her out the door.
Yep.
Think about it, y'all. All right, calm down out there. You got to tell the truth. Think about it.
Yeah, you got to tell the truth. He said, escort whore out the door. Yeah, think about it, y'all. You got to tell the truth. What do you think of that, Mark?
Well, in defense of Haley, I think the reason that maybe she underwent all those budget cuts in South Carolina is that she knew that working with John Bolton and Mike Pompeo, that she would get everyone in the States and potentially around the world killed in the next Zio war that she's supporting. So I think the high priestess of Zio wars is now out as our UN ambassador, or perhaps more accurately, Israel's ambassador to the UN. And hopefully this is a precursor of Trump doing something by whatever means he has to do it to get rid of both John Bolton and Mike Pompeo and all the other neocons that are currently stinking up his national security team.
Yeah, I've heard that now that she's coming back to South Carolina, all of the free clinics in Charleston are stacking up on penicillin.
but, oh, gee, I didn't say that, folks.
Okay. No, you know why I say it. It's, and okay, maybe I'm having a double standard because I don't care about President Trump or whatever. And really, I don't care about this. If she wasn't being Israel's shill in the United Nations and supporting supporting all the Zio wars and trying to start a war with Russia and all and North Korea, I wouldn't care what she did in her spare time. But she does support all those things. And so let me just remind you all that, you know, she was named as the other woman in a divorce case in South Carolina a few years ago, that she went off to Las Vegas with, I guess it was a lawyer. It was for some sort of conference and when she was governor, and she's, you know, all the reports were that she spent the weekend with him in the biblical sense, that there was a journalist from South Carolina who writes very graphically about his own escapades with her. And this is all reported on the Huffington Post and whatnot. I put it on nationalbugle.com some time ago. Maybe I'll recycle those stories. And by the way, thank you so much for all the contributions that you've been making to nationalbugle.com, Mark.
Well, I tell you, I've been doing that because it's very, very important that we keep up that news site. As I know that you're incredibly busy, we're trying to keep up that news site with some current stuff at the same time that we keep trying to put out some quality radio. And I definitely put some things on there this time, including review of a film called The Trump Prophecy that maybe we can look at later.
Okay. Yeah, maybe after the break. You've been putting up all sorts of stuff, and you know, it's a lot of fun stuff. So we'll get into that. Now, the one thing is, I'm going to read now from DavidDuke.com. He had a show with Tom Kaczynski earlier today. Tom Kaczynski, the leader of white people in New England, and they celebrated the exit of Skank Ambassador Nikki Haley. But of course, reading from the article, Trump really hasn't appointed anyone who shares his priorities to his foreign policy team since General Flynn. So the celebration may be as short-lived as one of Nimrata's extramarital affairs.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know who's going to replace her, but I think one hopeful sign is that several of our listeners wrote into me before the broadcast and suggested that in an interest of some bipartisan healing after the Ford Kavanaugh thing, that we have a bipartisan up on Capitol Hill, have a bipartisan mud wrestling event on ESPN. Yeah. That features Nikki Haley and Christine Blasey Ford. I really think that that would do a lot toward advancing people's trust in American institutions and just creating a sense of healing in the country right now.
Okay. Well, you know who else they might invite? They might invite Susan Collins and Susan Rice. Have you heard that Susan Rice? I don't know what her connection to Maine would be, but she seems to be hinting that she is going to challenge Susan Collins for the Senate seat.
Yes, and I know that there are Pinkos in my extended family that are actually going to contribute money to whoever runs against Collins, but be that as it may, it's certainly an interesting situation that we do have Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court, and who knows what's really going to happen in these off-year elections. We may say something about that while we're still on the air today.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and it is a serious thing that I don't know if there's been any rumors about who's going to replace Nimrata at the UN, but you know, the odds are that it's going to be somebody absolutely horrible. So, you know, we really might not have much to celebrate. I would like, you know, if he wants to put in an actually attractive young woman who is serious, there's Representative Tulsi Gabbard from Hawaii. She would be good. But and it would be good to elevate her, you know, somebody who actually shares his policy views. There's all sorts of people he could pick who share his policy views. I don't know why he puts in a foreign policy team that actively undermines him. Now, by the way, speaking of actively undermining him, there was a few weeks ago before all of this Kavanaugh stuff blew up. The big thing was. Well, you had the Woodward book saying that everybody in the Trump administration hates him and wants to undermine him. And then you had that anonymous op-ed in the New York Times that was written by somebody claiming to be a high Trump official. And there had been some speculation at the time that it might be Nikki Haley who wrote that. And is it just a coincidence that yesterday – Trump meets with Rod Rosenstein, who I guess the Washington Report Post said had been talking openly about invoking what would it be, Article or Paragraph 4 of the 26th Amendment in order to remove Trump from office. Do you think that is the timing here important? He meets with Rod Rosenstein, who maybe implicated Nikki Haley, and then Nikki Haley's gone the next day. What do you think? That's a possibility. What do you think?
I think it is a possibility, although I clearly don't know that for sure. The other angle, which may dovetail with one that you've just suggested here, is that Nikki Haley, for a number of days, has been putting online in the wake of these Ford Kavanaugh hearings that one should never in any way, shape, or form degrade a sexual assault victim or accuser. And some of the verbiage that she was using almost sounded like something that Dianne Feinstein or the current U.S. Senator from Hawaii might put forth into public purview. So maybe what we have here is a situation where Nikki Haley has decided that now the time potentially to lower her profile in regard to the Trump team and the Trump administration, only to reemerge later. And this lady, whatever else we might think about her, and obviously we don't think too much of her, is nonetheless a rubber ball that I suspect is going to pop up again somewhere else. And we haven't seen the last of her for sure.
Right. I mean, she could wind up being somebody's running mate in a stop Trump, never Trump effort. I mean, switching parties and running as a Democrat might be out of the question. But could she be Mitt Romney's running mate to challenge Trump in the primaries? I mean, typically you don't choose a running mate in the primaries, but it has been done. And Ted Cruz.
Yeah, and speaking of Cruz, Nikki Haley, we need to go back and recall, of course, that she had endorsed at various times in the 2016 Republican primaries Ted Cruz, our Zio-con senator here from Texas at the time being, and also Mario Rubio, Rubio in Florida. She was very close to him as well. So I think that's suggestive that something's in the wind, maybe even as early as 2020, where Ms. Haley's concerned.
Right. So we haven't seen the last of her. I'm just going back to the archives of National Bugle. And she had been, it was the Huffington Post, actually, that had written about her being like, the headline of the article was something like, Nikki Haley was Me Too'd, except that, you know, she was the one being accused of the sexual predation. And this was from the Huffington Post. Now, the Huffington Post removed that from its own website, but you can still see it on the Wayback Machine. And, you know, that involves some of those allegations that I was mentioning at the top of the show.
That would be very interesting to review some of those. And it's always good, folks, when you see something like that, to try and download it or keep it in your safe archives, because inevitably, 1, 2, 3, or 4 years later, when something like this Haley resignation happens and you try and go back and find those things, we often discover that that Zio Media deliberately pulls them down to keep people from any degree of historical memory and perspective.
That's right. Okay. Well, there's so much else going on, and I haven't had a chance to talk to you since Bruce Kavanaugh was...
Or confirmed. Brett Kavanaugh.
Brett, of course, Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed. So I want to know what you think is, you know, the significance of it in a variety of ways, including, you know, not just the upcoming midterm elections, but what it might do for the court and shifting the balance of power in the court, and also whether you think that having gone through this ordeal is going to make Brett Kavanaugh a different justice from what he would have been had he not undergone this hoaxing.
Well, I think several things are clear. One, in terms of Kavanaugh himself, it's hard to say to what extent this whole process that he had to endure to get confirmed will shape him in regard to his temperament and his judicial decisions. That's really hard to say. One of the things that I think is really clear is that the Republican base has been energized by the absolutely outrageous character of this circus. I suspect that the Republican turnout in these off-year elections is going to be somewhat higher than had originally been anticipated. The key question is whether or not the Democrats can win the 24 seats that they need in the House to take control of the House. That's iffy. There's much speculation on left and right that they will win at least 24 seats more than they currently possess. But the jury is now out in regard to what the public's general reaction is going to be in these off-year elections to what we just went through with this Kavanaugh thing. It may well be that the key to these off-year elections will be, once again, as it might be in a general election, the independent vote. How do independents view this Kavanaugh Ford circus? What are their reactions? And that may well determine how this thing with the off-year elections is going to play out, and certainly in a longer-term sense, how this whole thing may play out in 2020. But I would suspect that that's the $64,000 question there. The other thing that Paul Craig Roberts said today that I mentioned before on your show, Patrick, and that is that we, by the nature of this Kavanaugh circus, we were cheated out of an opportunity to have a real debate on the real Kavanaugh judicial philosophy and his past decisions and so forth. And as I had mentioned on your show before, it's a real pity that people on the Senate Judiciary Committee were not asking him publicly in these televised hearings to wax eloquent on his view of the powers, the war powers of the chief executive of the United States government. What role does Congress play in decisions as to whether or not the United States goes to war? To get into Kavanaugh's thinking about this whole issue of domestic American surveillance being undertaken by the NSA in the CIA and so forth. And last but not least, such things as whether or not Kavanaugh would ever endorse the murder or the extraordinary rendition of an American citizen by the American National Security Nexus, which has been done before, folks. And you had the former Attorney General of the Obama administration arguing in open court that the United States government has the right to engage under certain circumstances in assassinating American citizens without due process of law and habeas corpus. Would have been interesting to interact with Judge Kavanaugh on some of those kinds of questions, and we'll never know the answers to those questions, at least for now, because they weren't asked. Paul Craig Roberts, I think, today pretty much underscored that that's the ultimate tragedy of the farce that we endured in watching these Ford Kavanaugh hearings, is some very, very important questions that should have been asked and should have been answered before the American people weren't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Bruce Kavanaugh, remember, he was a close associate of President Bush, and he was also brought into Harvard Law School by Elena Kagan when she was the, I'm pretty
there
sure.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I did this whole study of everybody that Elena Kagan appointed, but I was looking for, I was trying to count how many Jews she appointed, and, I got to Kavanaugh's name, it's like, oh, he's a goy. And go on to the next one. And so I'd pretty much forgotten about that.
But, that's fascinating. Also, one thing I'd mentioned on your show, either the last time or a couple of times ago, was that Brett Kavanaugh played a pivotal role in the establishment version of the Vince Foster death years ago at Fort Marcy Park off the George Washington Parkway near CIA headquarters. A lot of people on the right.
Is that where he died? Was it on the George Washington Parkway by...
In the Fort Marcy Park is where the body was found. Kavanaugh was a lead investigator and overseer of that establishment investigation that concluded that the chief legal advisor to then-President Clinton had taken his own life. Of course, Christopher Ruddy's book on the subject of the strange death of Vince Foster suggests otherwise, and I'm one of the people on the right who happens to believe that Vince Foster did not take his own life, that there were a series of things before and after his death that suggested circumstantially that I'm right about that. Ruddy, with more information than I, is right about that. Would have been interesting to have Kavanaugh explain his role in that Vince Foster investigation, but we'll never know now.
Okay. All right, well, we'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
To the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Flattery and Mark Dankoff. And Mark, just finishing up on Brett. Why do I keep saying Bruce? Brett Kavanaugh. I'm glad he was confirmed because Trump needed a victory. It's good for a lot of reasons. But there are some real questions about his past, his professional past, that could have been asked. And we know that Susan Collins, in her private conversations with him, she pressed him on Roe versus Wade, and he seemed to give her assurances that he wasn't going to seek to overturn it. And had the questions that Paul Craig Roberts raised about his views on torture, his views on the War Powers Act, had they been raised in a public format, maybe we could have gotten him to make given us some assurances that he's not going to, wouldn't, you know, favor going off on the deep end that way as well, but they weren't asked.
Well, that's right, and as we said before the break, Paul Craig Roberts does us a public service by underscoring what wasn't asked. This is, of course, the same sort of thing that you and I were talking about, Patrick, two ago. You start talking about extraordinary rendition, which is CIA doublespeak for kidnapping. You start talking about torturing American citizens or others without due process of law. You start talking about the actual utilization of American intelligence agencies to assassinate Americans under mere suspicion of being involved with terrorists. This whole question of the FISA courts, what suffices or what should suffice as a legitimate brand of material to submit to a FISA court to get a warrant as an intelligence agency to do something that would normally be considered unlawful. The war powers of the chief executive vis-a-vis Congress, according to Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. These are the kinds of things that Kavanaugh should have been asked, and certainly his entire history coming from Bush wing, the Bush-Cheney wing of the Republican Party, gives me great pause for concern about what this guy actually believes, in addition to what we've already talked about, and that is that he was involved very much in the establishment version of what happened to Vince Foster.
Okay, now you mentioned the CIA, and you have found that there's a lot of concern out there about the these emerging ties between the CIA and the Democratic Party, and not just from people of our persuasion, but even from leftists. What can you tell us about that?
Well, you know what's interesting? I, again, to reiterate, did put this on our nationalbugle.com news page, so folks can look at this later and evaluate the information for themselves.
Yeah, you're going to want to go to that page frequently because
Mark's up very actively. This comes from the World Socialist website, not exactly coming from our point of view, as folks, published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, ICFI, not exactly our kind of political organization, but Patrick Martin does write for the World Socialist website on the 3rd of October with a title of CIA Democrats Call for Aggression Against Russia, Run Pro-War Campaigns in 2018 Congressional Races. Now, what Martin is observing here is a different version of what David Stockman was talking about a few weeks ago, and that is that we have a fascinating merger of the Clinton neoliberal interventionist wing of the Democratic side of the aisle with the pro-Zionist neocons on the far right in the Republican Party to
In other words, Democrats are the real neocons, right? They might not be the real racists, but they're the real neocons.
Well, that's right. And as Martin points out, the Democrats are widely favored to win control of the U.S. House of Representatives in these midterm elections on November 6th. The projections are that they'll gain 30 to 50 seats or even more, well above the net gain of 23 required for a majority. We'll see if those numbers hold. But the fascinating thing is, as Martin points out, historically, the last time the Democrats won control of the House from the Republicans was in 2006, when they captured 30 seats on the basis of a limited appeal, he says, to the massive anti-war sentiment among working people after three disastrous and bloody warfare years in Iraq and 5 years after the U.S. invasion and occupation of Afghanistan. In stark contrast, he says, there's not a hint of an anti-war campaign by the Democratic challengers seeking Republican seats in 2018. On the contrary, he says, the pronouncements of leading Democrats on foreign policy issues have been strongly pro-war, attacking the Trump administration from the right for its alleged softness on Russia and its hostility to traditional U.S.-led alliances like NATO. So the World Socialist website has previously identified these folks that are running as the CIA Democrats. They constitute the largest single grouping among Democratic nominees in competitive seats, more than state and local officials, lawyers, or those wealthy enough to finance their own campaigns. These 30 candidates running for House, the U.S. House of Representatives, according to Martin, include six actual CIA, FBI, or military intelligence agents, six State Department or other civilian national security officials, 11 combat vets from Iraq and Afghanistan, all but one officers, and including some pilots, naval officers, and military prosecutors, or JAGs.
We'll be back with more after.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm-hmm. Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
All right. So you were reading from this list of types of people who are these CIA candidates, and maybe you could also give us some names.
Yes, with only one exception, and again, I'm reading what has been written here. With one exception, Jared Golden is the exception running in the 1st District of Maine. We are told here on this World Socialist website that the military intelligence Democrats running for the U.S. House do not draw any negative conclusions from their experience in leading, planning, or fighting in the wars of the past 25 years, including the ones in Iraq, Afghanistan, and the other military engagements in the Persian Gulf and North and East Africa. The article goes on to emphasize that the thing that characterizes all of these so-called CIA Democrats running is their almost, if not in fact, unanimous opposition and animus toward Russia, mm-hmm. with a support of a policy that many of us on the paleo right, of course, would find to be absolutely dangerous. These are Amy McGrath, who is running against Republican incumbent Andy Barr in the 6th Congressional District of Kentucky, Jessica Morse, a former State Department and AID official in Iraq, running in the 4th District of California. Ms. Morse blasts the Trump administration, quote, for giving away global leadership to powers like China and Russia, unquote. Former FBI agent Christopher Hunter, running in the 12th District of Florida, declares Russia is a clear and present danger to the United States, unquote. Alyssa Slotkin, the former CIA agent and Pentagon official, running as a Democrat in Michigan's 8th Congressional District, says all kinds of things that are absolutely amazing. Max Rose, combat commander in Afghanistan, now running in New York's 11th Congressional District, which includes Staten Island and Brooklyn, calls for, quote, recognizing Russia as a hostile foreign power and holding the Kremlin accountable for its attempts to undermine the sovereignty and democratic values of other nations, unquote. Joseph Cosper, or Copser, I'm sorry, running in the 21st Congressional District of Texas, is another anti-Russian firebrand. Running as a Democrat, Copser writes on his website, quote, as a retired Army Ranger, I know firsthand the importance of standing strong with your allies. Given Russia's march toward a totalitarian state, showing aggression around the region, as well as their extensive cyber and information warfare campaign directed at the U.S., England, and others, now get a load of this, folks, our Article 5 NATO commitment to our European allies and partners is more important than ever, unquote, which means we're about to go to war for Montenegro. Josh Well, a former naval officer who was deployed to Afghanistan, now running as a Democrat in the 4th Congressional District of New Jersey, says all of the same types of things we were just reading earlier. Tom Malinowski, former Assistant Secretary of State for Human Rights, running in New Jersey's 7th District as a Democrat, calls for maintaining economic sanctions on Russia, quote, until it stops its aggression in Ukraine and interference in our democracy, unquote. Malinowski, we are then told, effectively and effusively endorses the state of Israel. Mickey Sherrill, a former Navy pilot and Russian policy officer running in New Jersey's 11th District, says, I have sat across the table from the Russians and know that we need our government to take the threat they pose seriously. She adds to this a warning about threats posed by North Korea and Iran, and we need more missiles, more troops abroad. Dan McCready, an Iraq War Unit commander, same thing. Oh, here Dan claims that he was baptized in water from the Euphrates River after having had a born-again experience and running as a Democrat. He calls for war to be waged only, quote, with overwhelming firepower, unquote. And he says that our enemies like Iran and Russia and the terrorists are outsmarting and outlasting us, quote, unquote. Dan is running in North Carolina's 9th Congressional District as a Democrat adjacent to Fort Bragg. And then, of course, there's Richard Ojeda in the 3rd Congressional District of West Virginia, who publicly boasts of having voted for Trump in 2016, but he's now running as a Democrat, with all kinds of full-blown foreign policy militarist positions that are undertaken here and are explained. Excuse me. Then there's Ken Harbaugh, retired Air Force pilot, running as a Democrat in the 7th Congressional District of Ohio, centered on the industrial city of Canton. And this is just more of the same in terms of some of the statements that he has made that are quoted here. Of these 30, 17 of these 30 CIA Democrats have been American intelligence agents. There's one national security Iraq war planner on this list, numerous other high-level State Department and military commanders. And as you read through this, this ain't just the Republican neocons we're talking about here, folks. This details with what David Stockman's been telling us. And last but not least, David Duke is joined by the World Socialist website and being blocked from Google search results. Jonas E. Alexis of Veterans Today is another one. So here we have some pretty good information coming to us today from our friends or adversaries, as the case might be, on the far left. And their information on the CIA Democrats is being blocked from Google search.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, imagine my shock that these Democrats who in 2004, 2006 were ostensibly against the wars in the Middle East and Afghanistan, although they never really talked about Afghanistan. Actually, John Stewart used to say, yeah, I'd like to do Afghanistan again. Can we invade it again? No, because we're still there. But imagine my shock that they weren't really sincere in being anti-war and that they were actually just, it was just political opportunism. And I'm saying that sarcastically because I knew it at the time. But the Democratic voters, I think, were against the war. And I think a lot of the people who voted for Bernie Sanders assumed he was an anti-war candidate. What's going to happen to these people, these like Bernie bro types, these people who actually think or actually thought that Trump was the one who was going to get us into wars and that and therefore they had to vote against him? What's going to happen to these people now that it's becoming increasingly undeniable that the Democrats aren't just the party of war, but they're the party of Armageddon?
Well, that's exactly right, and this is what David Stockman has been trying to get across to people. And when we look at this whole issue of these pro-war Democrats, this gets us into what we were going to look at next, the Washington Report for Middle East Affairs and their so-called Israeli PAC contribution list that they print every year for elections, both off-year elections like this year and in presidential election years. Hugh Galford and Janet McMahon of the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs have this out now in the current August-September edition of the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, which you can pick up at Barnes & Noble and elsewhere. And as you look at the fascinating character of these Israeli PAC contributions that are being undertaken in these current elections, here's one for you, folks. Just look at this and think about it for a minute.
I just want to clarify. So now you're reading the from the list of APAC or Israeli linked political action committees contributions to candidates. Is that it?
Well, that's very definitely it. And as you were suggesting off air, Patrick, we didn't have time to do this before we came on, but it would be fascinating to take this list from the Washington Report of Middle East Affairs on Israeli PAC contributions to American prostitutes running in these off-year elections, both Republican and Democrats, and compare that to the World Socialist list of so-called CIA Democrats. How much cross-referencing is there between the list that we were just looking at from the World Socialist website, which is up on the nationalbugle.com news page, and this new Wormia list that is out there? That would be a fascinating thing, and I'll try to do that before the next time we get on the air to cover this. But here are just a couple that I find to be especially fascinating from this new PAC list that Janet McMahon and Hugh Galford have come up with. Here are two that I want you to consider, folks. These are just the contributions. They also have career money received, and those folks are listed there. Also, sometimes there's a cross-reference where the same name appears in both a current race as well as historically. But when we ask ourselves who are the two top Democrats that have gotten Israeli PAC money in these current races, one of the two is Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, who voted to confirm Brett Kavanaugh. That I found to be an interesting thing. And here's another one for you. Ted Zeilwar's Goldman Sachs cruise that Patrick and I and David Duke try to pound on the air every time we can. Nonetheless, Ted Zeilwar's Cruz, the Republican U.S. Senator here in Texas, has a challenger, Beto O'Rourke, who has received a lot of Israeli PAC money for his current race against Cruz. And as you look at the list of senators or senatorial candidates who have gotten the most money, Beto O'Rourke finishes sixth with a lot of big names in front of him, who in this particular case, I think almost without exception, are incumbents. So down here in Texas, It's clear that the Israeli lobby has it figured that this Ted Cruz, Beto O'Rourke, U.S. Senate dogfight is going to be a lot closer than originally thought. And so the Israelis do what they always do, and the Israeli lobby does what it always does in the United States. It is hedging its bets. In this particular case, Ted Cruz, who has been their darling for many years, Ted still gets $30,950 thus far in individual contributions from known Israeli PACs. But Beto O'Rourke, the so-called liberal Democrat challenging Cruz, is now creeping up there with a total of $25,410 thus far. And if the poll numbers continue to show that race is being reasonably close, that amount of money is going to go way up between now and the first Tuesday in November. So there are all kinds of interesting things that we could talk about on this. But suffice it to say, when you're looking for individual states and candidates where there's the most publicity and the most interest in terms of who wins, trace the Israeli money there off of this Galford McMahon list from the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, and keep an eye on what they also provide for us, for incumbents, the committee assignments. As I've said many times when I've analyzed these lists every year on the radio for some network or another, keep an eye on the key committees that the Israeli lobby buys every single time. And what are these committees? You can just about bet foreign relations, right? Both sides of the aisle, House and Senate, foreign relations, intelligence, armed forces, homeland security. Those are among the biggies that are going to show up every time when it comes to protecting Israel's interests by buying American politicians. The other thing that comes up every year with this, and it's quite obvious that this year is no exception, and that is that the Zio control of American politicians and American political races is a two-party affair. It is a Republican affair. The Israelis buy Republicans and Democrats equally and effectively, and at the end of the day, we get to the totals at the bottom, dealing with total PAC contributions and then also the PAC contributions that Israeli PACs have been undertaking in the American political scene since 1978, which I think was probably the first year that the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs was doing this analysis for us.
Yeah, that's a great list. I used to subscribe to the magazine, and that list would come out a few times a year, I think. And it was fascinating. You look down the list. And now one thing is, you look at the contribution totals and maybe, you know, I'll say 34,000 or something like that, and say, well, is that really that much when you think of all the money in politics? But what you have to remember is it's not just what's coming from AIPAC or from other PACs in the form of direct contributions, because those direct contributions are what the comes under
the Federal Election Commission scrutiny.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Because there's two other things. One is that these contributions from the PACs signal to the Jewish community at large.
Exactly. And the Christian right community that loves all kinds of Zionist candidates and tells them who to put their individual money behind. Exactly. Great point.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's also the super PAC money that's not being traced by those stats. So it's great to use as a ranking. You can see, wow, Joe Manchin, I wouldn't have guessed that he would have been that high up, but I don't know a whole lot about him. But it's great to use as a relative ranking to see who's getting money. But when you're thinking of the absolute terms of how much money these people are selling themselves out for, but really selling our country out for, there's an order of magnitude or more difference, I'm sure. Well, that's all fascinating. So here's what I'm wondering. These people who have been voting Democrat, thinking that the Democrats are anti-war, can anybody actually think that anymore? You see Eric Swalwell, for instance, he's on Tucker Carlson's show often, but he's on other shows too, on PBS or liberal shows, CNN, and he is just so. Russia has attacked us. Oh, here's one other question. Isn't it interesting that now that the Democratic Party has become pretty explicitly anti-white, right? I mean, in their rhetoric and talking about white men and white Christian men and white Christian male privilege and all of this, they're becoming so explicit. Isn't it interesting that at the same time, they are targeting the out of all the foreign countries in the world, the one with the most white people, Russia. Now, I don't think it's the non-whites, you know, who are doing it. I don't think it's the blacks who are necessarily targeting Russia, but they're being used. And who's really behind all this?
Well, I'll go out on a limb once more and flat tell people what I think, and that is that it is the Jewish element in the United States that overwhelmingly provides the lion's share of big money that goes into the Democratic Party. This is not to say that they don't also put a lot of dough into the Republican Party, but the Democratic Party, something like two-thirds of the money that it gets at the, I mean, really big money, is coming from Jewish sources. And when we look at this absolute animus toward...
And we might have to wait until after the break to look at it.
Okay, very good.
Music.
We'll do it.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and Mark Dankoff. And I just want to mention one of the ads you heard during the break, the Koshertified ad. That ad and that app are receiving some attention. They've been noticed. I'll talk more about that later in the week. But yes, we're having an impact and we're being noticed. But Mark, I want to hear your take on what's going on with the Democratic Party.
Well, the Democratic Party, of course, has an overwhelming amount of Jewish support within it, both in terms of percentage of Jewish vote as well as the amount of Jewish money going into the Democratic Party. I'm going to put up on our National Bugle site shortly in our news page this line from the Times of Israel. Jewish women's groups denounce Senate for confirming Kavanaugh. That gives you the culturally Marxist side of what's going on here. The other thing is the internationalist side, and this gets back to Putin's Russia. Why are all of these pro-Zionist, pro-Jewish, Democratic, and Republican political candidates so anti-Russian, so anti-Putin, and absolutely paranoid in all of the false charges that they may have made both against Mr. Putin and against Russia generally? Well, it seems to me that when we start talking about this whole issue of world government, the link between Zionism and world government, and the way in which Zionism and world government also dovetail with what? With the Bretton Woods Federal Reserve Board petrodollar system that we have had globally since the end of World War II. The Zionists want that preserved because all of that is on their side. We have seen the overwhelming Jewish support. Joe Biden and Mark Dankoff both said this. The Jerusalem Post loves Biden. They hate Dankoff, but take it for what it's worth. Biden and Dankoff both agree that Jews have played a disproportionate role in the United States, just as one example, in the promotion of what Dankoff would call cultural Marxism, abortion, LGBTQ rights, and this whole issue of euthanasia, legalized euthanasia, and so forth and so on. What's going on here? There are a series of things going on there, but suffice it to say that when you look at Jewish control of banking and currency, when you look at Jewish demographic designs on the Western world, which involve the elimination of white European Christianity, this is where this demographic warfare comes in. And last but not least, when we look at the country that would seem to be the strongest politically, historically, and militarily, and having unified stance against being forcibly conscripted for this new world order and for this world Zionist banking system, that undergirds the drive toward ultimate one-world government, one argue that it's Putin's Russia. And as long as Putin's Russia stands in the way of Bibi's Zaya wars in the Middle East, as long as the Russians continue to advocate for a Palestinian state, as long as the Russians continue to support Iran and Syria in protecting them against this Zaya aggression, as long as Putin leads the way with these other BRICS countries with him in terms of trying to create an alternative to the American petrodollar for international trade, it isn't hard to see why all of these Zaya Wars candidates in both the Republican and Democratic parties are going to go so far as to have an actual war with Mr. Putin's Russia if they can't subvert him from within.
Wow. Well, Mark Dankoff, thank you so much for doing this. NASAPeople.com. Everybody should go there and see great articles he is finding for us. And I look forward to having him come back soon.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.